your radio home for New York Knicks basketball. This is 98.7 ESPN. WEPN-FM, New York.
Michael K is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K Show.
Michael K is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday, April 26, 2024. Michael, Don, and Peter with you. A lot of stuff to talk about, but we're going to start with the New York Knicks. And really, you can call in, you could argue, you can say whatever you like, but what Joel Embiid did to Mitchell Robinson was a flagrant two. And if it was most any other player in the NBA, it would have been a flagrant two, and they would have been thrown out of the game. But there was no way they were ever going to make it a flagrant two. They made it a flagrant one, because if they made it a flagrant two, the series is over. It was a must-win for the Sixers. They can't go down 3-0 and expect to come back. So at least with Embiid, you have a game that's going to be watched and consumed. There was no way they were throwing him out. But Don, Peter, if Mitchell Robinson did that to Embiid, he would have been thrown out immediately. Yeah. If it was a regular season game, Embiid would have been thrown out immediately.
Of course.
It was a clear flagrant two. And I'm not saying that anybody's in the bag for anybody, but that's one of the big stars in the NBA, the reigning MVP. They were not throwing him out.
No. They're not. Now, should they? I mean, should everything be equal? Game one of an NBA regular season should be the same as a playoff game, that the 15th guy off the bench should be the same as a superstar? I guess in a perfect world, Michael. But you tell me the sport where that would have happened. Somebody that can actually decide a series would get thrown out. I would have been shocked if they did.
I don't know, but I will tell you this. It was a really dirty play.
Of course it was.
The guy was
awful.
In the air. He grabbed his legs. He could have really hurt him, and then he ends up getting hurt anyway.
Yeah.
And the Sixers came out very aggressive previously, and he wasn't even called for a flagrant on this. He need Isaiah Hartenstein and the Jewels. No call. Kyle Lowry smacked DiVincenzo in the face. That was a flagrant one. That should not have been a flagrant two. But what Embiid did was a flagrant two. And if you're a Sixer fan and you don't agree with that, then you're looking at the world through Sixer glasses.
I really like Joel Embiid. He seems like an excellent dude off the court. Like whenever you hear him talk, he's entertaining. He's a phenomenal player. I mean, we can't bury the fact that he dropped a 50 spot after he said his team would win the series, right? He's a beast. He's the dirtiest player in the NBA. I mean, that yesterday, I'm sorry, we could talk about Draymond Green till we want. Yesterday, that leg grab was as dirty and dangerous a play as I remember seeing in this league. And whether they gave him the flagrant two or not, and they're never going to do this. But if they were doing the right thing, guys, they would review it after the game. He wouldn't be playing in game 4. It was football. That was not basketball. And I'm sorry, I expected makeup calls, but guys, I didn't expect something like that to be okay.
I did expect that it was going to be lopsided the way it was. I mean, the Knicks had 19 free throws. Joel Embiid had 21.
Yeah, you knew that was happening.
So you knew they were going to even it out, especially with the two-minute report and things like that. Mm-hmm. And they knew that they lost a game for them, so it was going to be slanted in their favor. But still, that thing does just stand out and say, wow, how did he get away with that? How did he get away with that?
Because he's a star. Right. You said, Michael, it comes down to the bottom line. If the series is over, they don't want it to be over. And listen, we'll get calls from Knicks fans that the league hates the Knicks. In this particular situation, they want every series to go 7. These are two big markets. They want to try to get as much television value, as many big games as they can. And they know that if they had kicked Embiid out of that game, then the Sixers are probably getting swept. They lose 3 quality games for TV. They want these things to go long, you know. And so it stinks. That's not the way it's supposed to be. All these leagues talk about that every game is the same. It's all officiated the same. That's such bull. Because if he was nobody, he gets kicked out of that game and gets suspended. If the series is 3-0 last night, maybe there's a chance that Embiid would get suspended because the series looks like it's over anyway. But in a game in which Philadelphia's got a chance to make it 2-1, with a home game coming up in game four, they're thinking, what's the biggest bang for the buck? What's best for the league? And what's best for the league is if Embiid continues to play.
And also, just take away what was clearly a flagrant two. I want the person to call in that disagrees with that. Even if you're from Philly, I'd like to really pick it apart with you because I don't understand how you I mean, it's something where you could severely injure a player and was unnecessary. He's on the ground. He was not defending the play. He was on the ground. He was trying to hurt him. Now, he said it's because of the fact, you know, Jonathan Kuminga in a similar situation fell down and hurt his knee. Okay, so that means you have to hurt Mitchell Robinson. Also, the way the game was officiated, Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein, who have done a good job, they both had 3 fouls in an eye blink. To the point where Precious Achiuwa had to come in. Now, I don't have a problem with Precious Achiuwa coming in, but for the first two games of the series, Tibbs was playing with an 8-man team. All of a sudden, the ninth guy comes in, and I think he's going to have to play again because it looks like Mitchell Robinson re-injured his ankle, the one that was surgically repaired. So, yeah, it was not a great day for the Knicks. The best thing was that Jalen Brunson played well. You know, he had contested shots, the whole deal. But if we really want to be honest with each other, I know, okay, so negative, those phone calls are going to come. You can make the argument the Sixers should be up 2-1. You can make the argument the Sixers could be up 3-0. Now, I think the Knicks won the first game fair and square. Second one, they didn't. They missed those calls. The Sixers should have won the game. So the Sixers have essentially for three games outplayed the Knicks. Knicks have to – now they have the counter on Sunday. Let's see what they do.
Well, would you go as far as to say they outplayed them in game one?
No, I think the Knicks outplayed them.
Yeah, I think the Knicks should win game one.
But, I mean, you could see a couple of things here or there. Oh. Then you could also say, well, Brunson, if he has a Brunson game, it wouldn't have been close. But I think he didn't have a Brunson game because the Sixers played him well.
Now, we argued yesterday about, you know, like Peter and I aren't swayed by what happened in the first two games. I'm not even swayed by what happened last night. Last night was very predictable. First home game for Philadelphia. You knew because of the way that the officiating went in the end of the game, game two, that it was going to be a really difficult time, which drives you crazy too. But we all predicted that. So you know that the officials have makeup calls all the time. Clearly, everyone knew the game was going to be officiated that way based on what happened with the two-minute report in game two. But I still think they can win this series. I still think that they're the better team. Philadelphia was bound to respond. It still took a 50-point effort from Embiid. And, you know, so the game wasn't really that close. But still, it wasn't like they were completely blown out of the building either. I could see the Knicks totally regrouping and still come back to New York on Tuesday with a 3-1 series lead. I'm not going to change my opinion based on what happened last night. I think the only thing that was proven wrong so far through the first three games is that the Knicks were going to win this in a walkover. Like anybody that thought, oh, we're going to sweep Philadelphia, this is going to be easy, I think we're proving it's not going to be easy. But I still think the Knicks are in good shape.
Well, game four looms very, very large because if the Sixers win game four, all of a sudden it's 2-2 and it's a best of three, and it's a best of three and the best player on the feet, on the court is the guy on the Sixers. So you get nervous about things like that. Now, two of those games would be at the Garden. I understand that, but it does become a best of three and anything can happen. So I think the Knicks could feel better about life. If they won on Sunday, they could breathe a little bit and move on from there. If they lose, then it's a dogfight. It could be seven. Peter could end up being right. It could be a seven-game set.
Well, I felt the same thing Michael felt last night about, like, wow, are we lucky that this series is 2-1 in the first place? Because it could very easily be the other way, if not worst. But I don't know. I feel like the energy that I have coming out today is less about the disappointment of their play, in spite of the fact that Jalen Brunson was much better, though the fourth quarter left a lot to be desired, and sort of more from the mindset of, if you're the Knicks right now, don't you feel like you really have your back up against the wall?
I mean, yes.
You're now 2-1 playing game four, and I'm sorry, you got to be looking at it as you're up against the axis of evil, which is these dirty-ass Sixers players, horrible referees, the whining Philly fan base. I really hope that this team looks within and can dig deep in game four, because this will become a really scary series. And beyond that, guys, the New York Knicks cannot be the New York Mets in game four. And Don, you of all people should know what I'm talking about. They need to make a physical statement in game four. I'm sorry. You have those extra bodies on the bench that Tibbs never plays. Someone needs to a nice, good, intentional, accidental slap across Embiid's face needs to happen in game four. You cannot allow. I don't care whether he's an MVP or not. I'm not saying you go for the guy's knees and try to end his season, but guys, you don't hit him with a hard Pistons foul where he can, sort of similar to what happened to DiVincenzo yesterday. You could argue he got completely punched in the face by Lowry. So someone needs to get racked across the face in the first 5 minutes on Sunday to show them that they're not going to roll over against this team.
But I think if that happens, then that person's going to get thrown out. But it better not be a star.
No, we have bodies for that, because think about him. Tibbs only likes to play eight guys.
Right.
You bring in a ninth guy and you lose them.
Yeah, there's somebody on the bench that's got 5 fouls to give.
That's right. Use them. You got to use them. You got to make a statement. You cannot allow them to push you around like that. I'm sorry. He grabbed him intentionally in broad daylight and then dropped 50 on your head. You have to stand up. And I mean, listen, it can only be so much from the effort of basketball you put in. That, of course, you need. But you need a physical thing, too. I'm sorry. The Sixers play like it's, at times, they play like it's an 80s, 90s brand of basketball. You can't retort with 2024 basketball. You're going to have to play some.
They complain every call. Especially Embiid, every single call.
Isn't that unbelievable? You're sitting here giving people, ball shots and grabbing people's legs, and also complaining. It's a lot.
But we talk about the lack of respect the Knicks get around the nation outside of New York. This is where it rears its ugly head. You know, forget about how the media feels about them, how Shaq and Barkley feel about them. With the lack of respect is they've got a player who should be getting calls. They've got a player who's a superstar, but I don't know if the league judges it that way. I mean, it's a league full of stars getting breaks. When are the Knicks going to start getting breaks? They're a great team. They're a 2 seed. They've got star players, but because nobody ever looks at their players as true stars, they don't catch breaks like this.
Let's listen to Jay Williams, our very own Jay Williams on Get Up, about the Embiid grab of the legs of Mitchell Robinson.
That's not being physical, though. There's one thing about being physical and cracking into somebody when they're not looking for a rebound, right? Or giving somebody an elbow or a push off. To me, it's just a flat out dirty play. I mean, that's a play that deserves to be ejected. I mean, the thing that Mitchell Robinson is midair here, where he yanks that, like he's about to jump. Like that could have torn an ACL. That could have torn, some kind of ligament. That's a very dirty play. And I thought he deserved to be ejected for that. That should have been a flagrant too.
Now here's Nick Nurse, the coach of the Sixers, talking about that play.
A flagrant at the beginning. I mean, were you a little worried that it could have been like a flagrant too? With like, where did it ever cross your mind at all? That
I didn't even look at it. Sorry, I didn't see it. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's
really Nick.
It happens in hockey all the time. I understand a coach has to show support to his players, but are you really going to tell me you didn't see it?
Then you're not doing a good job as a coach.
Yeah, I mean,
come on. You didn't see a play like that?
Because you know what you should be doing is you should be making sure, hey, Joel, you got away with it, but clean it up, because the next time you might get kicked out of the game and now we're dead. But is that even going to be the case? Who the heck knows? I mean, so I'm with Peter. You got to hockey it up. And you know what? You throw a Jericho Sims out of here. You got 5 fouls to give, buddy. Go out and get it. You're not going to play anyway. You know, how many minutes you're going to get? There's guys out there. Hey, let's be physical. Let's do it. And you get kicked out of the game. So what? You weren't somebody who was going to play anyway. I'm not saying you got to go beat somebody down, but you got to push back. If the league's not going to have your back, you got to take matters into your own hands here. Now, you got to be careful because you don't want to parade to the foul line. But at the same time, I'm with Peter. You've got to be able to show a little backbone here. You can't whine. You can't point fingers. You can't expect the league or the officials to help you out here. Sometimes you got to take matters into your own hands.
They're not going to help you out. And you know for a fact that this Philly team is going to be bitching and moaning the entire game, no matter what you do. Even if you play the Michael, give me a good example of like a nuns basketball team. You get the idea.
Nuns?
Yeah, like not the little sisters the poor, but you get the idea. You could be a perfect team. They're still going to complain the entire game. You got to get after it early, because no matter what you do, they're going to cry either way. You might as well make them cry. And you got bodies to do it.
Here's the part of the narrative I don't understand, and I don't co-sign on. The league doesn't want the Knicks to win. Well, in what universe does the league not want a New York team to win?
Yeah,
universe would they not want the Knicks to be in the NBA Finals? when they're negotiating television contracts, when it would get the biggest ratings of any team coming out of the East.
People confuse bad. It's like everything in this country, Michael. It always has to be a conspiracy that's deeper. People confuse just terrible refereeing with an all-out conspiracy. The league is based in New York. Everything is it would be incredible business for the Knicks to win the whole thing. It's just the ref. Guys, this isn't the only series. You've heard what LeBron James is saying. There's been bad refereeing throughout the playoffs so far.
No, it's true. But here's the one thing that I kind of disagree, and I don't believe there's conspiracy theories either, because I'm with Michael. If they got a Laker-Nick championship every year, they'd be thrilled. Two of the biggest television markets in the country, believe me, they'd love to see that. But I'm just wondering if the officials in the pace of games have any respect for the players the Knicks have.
That might be a good point, Don, because they're not big time stars.
See, it's not that we don't want the Knicks to win. They want the market, but the Knicks are disrespected. They don't have a LeBron James. They don't have an Embiid. They don't have a Jokic, at least in the eyes of these officials in the league, that should be getting calls. Well, Jalen Brunson should be getting calls.
He's been arguing the whole time. Brunson does not get the calls of an elite player, and he's an elite player.
But unfortunately, outside of New York, does anybody think of him that way?
Unfortunately, but the officials who watch him play every day should think they should be smart.
Well, they should. They should. But this is a league, you know Peter better than anybody. It's not driven by markets. It's driven by stars. So they don't want the Knicks. They want the Knicks to win. But the way the Knicks are constructed, I don't think they have the stars to make it happen.
Did you see this stat, Peter? Joel Embiid has more flagrant fouls than Draymond Green in 481 fewer games.
Wow.
Peter was right.
We look at Draymond Green, and by the way, he was defending Embiid, so go surprise. We look at Embiid as Draymond as a dirty player. Embiid's a dirty player. He kicked Hartenstein in the jewels, and then he tried to injure Mitchell Robinson. It's awful. It was an awful look.
But what makes it strange, though, is that Draymond's not the player Embiid is.
Right.
So it's the combination of you're going to get star treatment and take advantage of it. Like, if Draymond did that last night, he probably does get a two, does get kicked out, and does get suspended. We've seen that. Oh, it changed the series against Cleveland. He's not that level.
The leg grab would have absolutely done Draymond in at this point. And the reputation alone. You're right, Don. It's because I just tweeted this, and it's so true. He's the dirtiest player in the game. He just happens to be one of the best players in the game.
So that makes it a deadly combination, because he's going to get away with a lot more.
So much emphasis now on Game 4. So important. I mean, I'm not saying it's a must-win for the Knicks. It's pretty damn important.
And also, I got to say one. Let me be hard on the Knicks fans for a second. I know I'm waving the Knicks flags right now, and this will probably get them to throw things at me instead. But it needs to be pointed out.
All right.
Brunson was much better yesterday, obviously. 39 points. What do you have? 12, 13 assists. He was awesome last night. But I have to be real with you. He's the guy. He was not good down the stretch of that game. He had one field goal in the fourth quarter. And Michael, down the stretch, when they cut it to 7, he had critical turnovers when they had a chance. So yep. I love that he gave you 39 points. But remember, he's not getting... This isn't the old Jalen Brunson bar of comparing him to 3 years ago Jalen Brunson. He is a superstar. He is their dude. And last night, as good as he was, the money is made for superstars in the fourth quarter of playoff games, and we need more from him in the fourth quarter of a playoff game.
And, you know, the equation that we've always had for teams that are going to win championships is that they have two legitimate stars, right? Now, I have come around on this. Jalen Brunson is a legitimate star. Who's the second legitimate star on the Knicks? They don't have it. The rest of the team is built on guts and guile and grittiness. How many teams like that win? That's why it makes me laugh when people say, are the Knicks better without Julius Randle? No! Julius Randle would be that second star. No matter what you think of Julius Randle, what level star he is, he's a star. 25 and 10 is missed.
Now, on any given night, there could be somebody that can play like a star.
Right, but it's not a consistent thing.
But getting back to the original point, there isn't anybody that's going to get the benefit of the doubt. There isn't anybody that's going to get the call because they're not looked upon as a star. So... everything that's great about the Knicks is what I hate about the NBA, and it's going to end up coming back to bite the Knicks. Because this sport honors its superstars. It honors load management. All the things that we hate, guys, about the NBA, that's the way to do it. Because now we're starting to see the lack of that star is going to hurt them. Yeah, you know, the not getting respect is going to hurt them. It drives them. But in the ins and outs of a game like last night, they shouldn't be disrespected like that. They're the better team. They're the higher seed. But does the world look at it that way?
Well, forget about the world. If the guys in the the officials' uniforms don't, that's the biggest problem. And you know, you could say, well, I'm sure there were some teams that gritted their way to championships. And you think about the Bad Boys. Bad Boys had stars, man. There were great players on that team. So tell me another team that with just one star gritted its way to a championship. It doesn't happen. So the Knicks, while they're inspiring and they could beat anybody, anybody in any series. Are they that great that they're going to overcome odds like officials not giving them respect?
But that's what drives you crazy, right? Because if everything's fair, it should be. It should be enough. It shouldn't be because, well, you're not going to get the calls unless you have extra stars. You're not going to get the respect. That's not the way sports is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a popularity contest.
Yeah, but I think that officials see things almost in a nuanced way. I don't think they're purposely doing that. They look at the Knicks and they don't see Jordan. They don't see LeBron. They don't see Steph. They see, okay, there's Jalen Brunson. They don't see that great. So I don't know if they're going out of their way overtly to not call things for the Knicks. They just don't look at the Knicks in that way. And that's not right.
But if you're a good basketball official and you've got blinders on, you can't be impressed by the way they play the game? And it's a competitive game. A foul's a foul, right? A flagrant foul's a flagrant foul. You shouldn't be motivated by who's got the ball. And I know it's human nature that Michael Irvin was able to push off. And Wade Boggs always got the benefit of the outside corner. Or Greg Maddux, when he was pitching, got the benefit of the outside corner. In little moments. But going in to a series, you should not be at a disadvantage because you're being disrespected around the league. And it feels like in the NBA, that's by design. Give the stars the break. And in this sport, it's hard to overcome that.
Now, just to tie things up with what I thought should have been a flagrant two, and I think Don and Peter do as well, don't just blame the officials. Because they said when they spoke to the pool reporter, Secaucus agreed. So somebody from the NBA was in the room and Secaucus said, you can't throw out Embiid.
Can't.
You can't. So the Knicks were victimized by the fact that a crime was committed by a really famous person and the courts let him get away with it. Because there's no other Sixer fan out there within the sound of her voice. I want you to defend that wasn't a flagrant two.
What I got to understand is they all looked at it. They said everyone was in agreement.
Right. Even Secaucus.
Everyone in Secaucus and the referees all thought it was a one. None of you said that looks like a two to me?
No. And you know why?
They know they can't. They can't. They can't throw him out.
Because they're gutless pukes.
Because that's what they agreed upon, Peter. We can't kick Embiid out of the game.
Right.
Wasn't a question of whether it was a two. What keeps him in the game? That's what we're going to vote for. It shouldn't be that way.
Well, it's game time, guys. Brought to you by Telemar Dew Irish Whiskey. The Rangers and Don are in the nation's capital, facing the Capitals in game three with coverage immediately following us on 98.7. So Don's going to do the play-by-play today. We love that. For complete coverage of NFL Draft Day 2, tune to 10:50 starting at 6, and 98.7 will join in progress after Rangers coverage. In baseball, Mets welcoming the Cardinals to Citi Field at 7:10. Unfortunately for Met fans, that's an Apple TV Plus game. And the Yankees are in Milwaukee taking on the Brewers at 8:10. I'm in Milwaukee. That game will be on YES. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly.
Hey,
we have not forgotten. We'll break down the NFL draft, and boy, was Don right. Tonka.
Oh, yeah, more Tonka than ever.
Months of Tonka. I mean, they must be raw. There's so much Tonka.
I had very descriptive texts on the thread last night.
Very, very. But you know what? I am going to give out one MVP for last night.
Okay. Mel Kiper.
Well, Kiper doesn't really count, does he?
He's a good.
Kuiper is the draft, for God's sake.
You want to wait, or you don't want to do
no,
it?
No, no, yeah, I want to wait. We'll do it on all the other side.
Visit Mercedes-Benz of White Plains and see why they've received the Best of the Best award for the third straight year. With over 350 new and certified pre-owned sedans, SUVs, and vans available, they have the vehicle for you. Start your shopping online at mbwhiteplains.com or visit their showroom. American Express cardholders can take advantage of additional benefits. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Well, to hit home run, everything needs to line up perfectly, no different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2 by London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Please, please, please mention I told you to stop by. You'll get the Michael K. treatment.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Now, I promise, so many people want to talk about the Knicks. We will get to you. Spike, Tim, Ken, Phil, JJ will get to you. Promise. Promise. But let's just do a quick overview on the NFL draft. All the predicted trades, none of them came down. Washington supposedly not being high on Daniels didn't happen.
They were high, apparently high.
They obviously apparently very high. The Patriots were supposedly shopping the pick, and then they ended up picking Drake May. Here's my question: We kept talking about if you want Drake May, if you're the Giants, right?
Right.
You give the first, you give the second, you give the first next year because that's the guy. Well, if New England really liked Drake May, there wouldn't be any offer that anybody could make that would want them to come off of that.
Yeah.
I keep hearing, well, you know what? They were asking for a king's ransom. Well, then they're idiots. Why would you trade away the guy that you think your quarterback is going to be for the next 15 years for king's ransom? It's ridiculous. None of it made sense.
Well, they liked May. And there was no offer that was going to be good enough for them to sway. Now, I think you hear the reports the Giants asked, but I guess they were sold on May. So it all ended up going chalk. And I thought that if they were interested in J.J. McCarthy, the Giants would have been able to take him at 6. Obviously, they were not. So I guess the Giants were interested in upgrading the quarterback, but there were only three that would do it, not a fourth. So they went with the wide receiver, and I think that's the right call. That was the best player available. So Giant fans can look at it and go, well, Daniel Jones, what are you supposed to just draft a quarterback you don't like just because he's not Daniel Jones?
I don't like this pick, though.
Why?
Why?
Because I just don't think a receiver is where you go when you're as far away as the Giants are.
Maybe they don't think they're more than one or two players away.
So I just don't.
But if you believe in your quarterback and you get him a big time receiver that's along the lines of a Beckham,
but
it's
do they
help him?
But do they believe in their quarterback? So you don't really. I mean, listen. We may feel that Jordan and everybody got it wrong because they didn't go get the quarterback. But the rumblings are not wrong. They didn't get everything wrong. So now you decided. Not only are you not looking for a quarterback, but you're doubling down and using your first pick to draft a wide receiver. And Don, let me just throw in on top of that.
Yeah.
We have talked in recent years, guys, about the Giant way getting a little bit lost. Malik Nabers is another guy with a history with a gun charge. Are they never going to stop? Like, they just keep gambling. Now, listen, he seemed lovely last night. His energy seemed great. But Malik Nabers, have you looked up the story of Malik getting in trouble in New Orleans a couple years ago? Walking around. Now, listen, I believe everyone has a chance to prove themselves. But, I mean, when you Google in, the first thing that comes up on NJ.com, why Joe Shane was comfortable with Malik Nabers' gun arrest. You're comfortable with it. I'm glad. I'm just saying, hopefully he works out to be better. But guys, in the case of Baker and Tony,
yeah,
they took risks on character guys and they got it wrong. That's all I'm saying.
No, that's a valid point. But as far as the position's concerned, where are you going to go, Peter? I mean, it's one guy. So if you've got to do a lot of stuff, get a young receiver. It's a receiver's league now. Whoever your quarterback is going to help Daniel Jones, who's making $40 million a year. And if Daniel Jones is not the guy, you're going to go find another quarterback next year. It's going to be nice to have going into his second year, a wide receiver who might turn out to be one of the best wide receivers in the league. I mean, you can strengthen the offensive line. You can go any position you're going into. But there's nothing ever wrong with taking the best available player when the one need that you had wasn't there for you. You're not just going to take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. If they didn't like J.J. McCarthy, should they have just taken him because they need a quarterback?
Now, I hear you. I hear you on that. But was there nothing else? They feel like they're all set on the offensive line? Because if Jones isn't protected, Nabers ain't getting the ball. So,
well, that's the way the Jets went. And I got to give Joe Douglas a little credit. First of all, he was very shrewd. He played the Broncos against the Vikings, who were both hot for J.J. McCarthy.
Right.
So he got an extra pick just to drop down one spot in the draft. And he took an offensive, he took a left tackle. And he could have taken Brock Bowers. And I think Brock Bowers is better suited to help the Jets in 2024. And the kid they took on the line probably isn't even going to start the season as a starter. He's going to be coming off the bench. So I think he did the right thing for the future of the team. He didn't do the right thing for 2024 because I think that Bowers with Rodgers would have been a beast. But I really can't complain about it because I don't think the Jets' offensive line rebuild is all that stout. So we're not quite sure.
But this is what's strange about the pick. And I'm on board with the pick the way you are, Michael. It's just that they went out and signed Smith, but Smith's older and he's injury prone. So you wanted to bring in a left tackle to fill in for him. So that'll work out in 2024 if Smith gets hurt. If Smith is healthy all year, well, then will we be having a conversation late in the year that they could have used for a weapon in the first round because
they
Smith
might.
Didn't get hurt?
We might.
So either way you play it, if Smith gets hurt, great, it worked out. They needed the backup. But if Smith doesn't get hurt, then people will be asking, well, why did you draft him? Because we could talk about the future, but the future's now with Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see how light they are at the weapons because Aaron Rodgers should make the players around him better. So ultimately, I think they probably did the right thing because you need depth on the offensive line. But Bowers did drop too, so I don't know how much they probably were in love with him. They obviously passed on him. So we'll see ultimately whether they made a mistake or not.
Now, the biggest surprise, I guess, would be Atlanta going with Penix after they gave Kirk Cousins an inordinately large contract. But, you know, the contract that you always read about when somebody signs a contract, I mean, what is it really? It looks like they could get out of it after 2 years. And so you sit down Penix for 2 years behind Kirk Cousins. But also the problem that they've just created, and Kirk Cousins was so supposedly blindsided by this,
yeah,
is the first time Kirk Cousins throws three interceptions in a game, they're going to be screaming, the fan base is going to be screaming to put in Penix. So what did you do? Why did you even go after Kirk Cousins?
I don't know if you're going to be motivated by how the fans are going to react to a slow start. This, to me, is a byproduct of their division. Their division is very winnable. So they probably wanted Cousins to help them win while they're grooming their young quarterback that eventually will take over. Cousins, what, 35 years old? So I guess their feeling is they can actually have the luxury of grooming a young quarterback and winning at the same time, because that you can win eight games and maybe win that division. That's probably their motivation. Where I disagree is, how do you not make him part of the process? Like, how does he end up finding out through the media? How do you not get on the phone with him and say, don't panic, we're taking a quarterback here, you're still our guy?
Well, they did call him when they were on the clock. Right before they made the pick, they called him.
But I don't know why you don't make... We live in a day and age now, especially with the money...
Because I think they're afraid that it's going to get leaked out. I think that he'll tell his agent will tell his favorite, you know, reporter, and boom, it's out. So I think that's why they're so protective of this stuff.
Well, I just think you got to have that, some sort of relationship, because now he looks blindsided, and now it looks like he's not on board. I just think you got to get all your ducks in a row. But I do think that this would not have happened if they were in the NFC East and you're competing with the Cowboys and the Eagles. But because of that division, Cousins can be okay, not great, and they still might be able to stumble into the playoffs.
I heard, Peter, that Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, after the pick was made, called up Cousins. You know what he told him?
You like that?
You like that? Do you like that?
That was...
And he didn't.
What a weird... And then I love the scene, the Falcon fans meltdown too, because they're like, wait a second, we have one quarterback coming off of an Achilles and another one coming off of two ACLs?
Now, who was the guy that you said did a good job, Peter?
Ah, you ready?
Yes.
Well, two things. First of all, I want to give credit to Greeny. And the gang, everybody, actually. I thought their Chris Mortensen tribute was touching and lovely. So I want to give credit to them. I thought that was really pitch perfect and a great job. But my MVP, I got to give it up to the Pat McAfee show. The booking of Belichick in that spot was perfect. That is the spot to use Belichick. If you put him at a desk with other serious people, I feel like it ends up getting lost how meaningful it is, and he won't shine the same way. But being with Pat and his guys allowed him to be like, he was still serious, but he ended up coming off as so much more likable by interacting with them. I got to tell you, I thought it was brilliant booking. It was, last night I thought was a big win for the McAfee show.
Well, so. I've been saying this and you guys kind of push back. I think that Belichick's going to be excellent if put in the right situation. The story he told about Randy Moss was riveting when they made the trade for Randy Moss.
Well, but yesterday was the right spot. That's putting him in the right
Brady
spot.
I think Brady's going to be great too. These guys are football geniuses, and they can express themselves. Bill Belichick, we've always heard behind the scenes, is very funny and quick, and he's showing it. Yesterday, he was funny and quick.
I just think you're right. He has to be with the right people. See,
I think he'll be great with the Mannings on the Madden cast.
They'll be good, too. They'll be good, too, but it has to be loose. Him in the loose setting is what's going to make him stand out and be fun.
But ultimately, listen, Brady's probably done. I say probably because I guess you never, ever know. But at one point, he will be. And if Belichick accepts the fact that his coaching days are done, then I think he'll open up. But if he's always going to be, I don't want to give too much here because I might be coaching, then I don't know if he'll truly be able to be great. Like, I really thought Rex, outside of him, you know, trying to get the Cowboys defensive coordinator job, really turned the corner as an analyst when he accepted the fact that his head coaching days are over. I thought he was a little bit too protective. I think Belichick will truly be great. So maybe another year or so, when the writing is clearly on the wall, we'll see. And he has to be with the right person.
And they, you know, on the air, I'm sure they did it off the air first. They agreed that he's going to be on McAfee every Monday, and then he's going to be on the Madden cast. Most of the Madden cast, not every single one, but most of them. So I'm sure he's going to do quite well financially, but I think it's a great get because this guy knows more football than anybody. And killed Drake May, the Patriots choice.
Yeah, he did.
Killed him. Love it.
I can't make the Patriots happy.
No.
But
no.
We'll see whether he's right or
then
wrong.
Then when you find out that, you know, Robert Kraft called up the Falcons and killed Belichick, you know, the gloves are off.
You know, we never really got into that, Michael, because there was a lot of other stuff going on. That's Bush League to me.
Oh, so
the guy gave you a championship. I don't care how you feel about the guy personally. Like, whatever it is, we know who Robert Kraft is because of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So you should be treating them both with respect. And if the guy wants to get another gig someplace, let him go. Give me a break.
It is. I guess we should have gone to school on the Dynasty documentary because it made Belichick out to be the evil one. Let's go take some phone calls. Let's go to Tim in, North Carolina. Tim, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
What's up?
I'm great. I just want to talk about the Knicks. Huge Knicks fan. Been watching for most of my life. And, you know, I just can't believe that Embiid foul, that he would stay in the game after that. And I happened to be watching the draft, the Knicks and the Islanders at the time. So I happened to look down at my phone right when Embiid fouled him. And I, like, jumped right out of my seat. I could not believe that he did that. And then I couldn't believe that he stayed in the game. And listening to his excuse with the Kuminga thing didn't really make any sense, because Mitch is jumping, and as he's jumping, Embiid grabs his leg, and he causes Mitch to fall on him, which is what he said he wanted to avoid.
And yeah, none of it passes the smell test. Absolutely none of it. Makes the NBA look bad, makes Embiid look bad. You know, a positive for the Knicks, it makes them look like they're the aggrieved. So this time, the Sixers were the aggrieved in Game 2, and they got the benefit. Maybe the Knicks get the benefit in Game 4 after, you know, it's so clear that the NBA really did not do the right thing by the Knicks. Embiid should have been thrown out of the game. I mean, that's not only a dirty play, but it could have severely injured Robinson.
And the arrogance, you know he's doing that for two reasons. One, the Sixers are desperate. They know if they lose that game, they're done. And two, he knows he can get away with it.
And you know what? The Knicks took every punch in the first two quarters, and they were leading at the half. And then the Sixers just didn't miss a shot in the third. I think they scored 43 points in the third quarter, and they never looked back. So that was a game right there. We'll take more of your phone calls, talk a little bit about the Islanders' really tough loss, and we'll preview the Rangers and the Capitals with Don and Kenny Albert at 4 o'clock. Hey, I talk for a living, and whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. Nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea, Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil is not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. It keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
All right, guys, this message is brought to you by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained? Do you have tons of energy? I'm doing pretty good. Talked to my therapist this week. Got to where I needed to be. Been going through some different things professionally and personally, but with the proper time in therapy, manages to really put me in the spot I need to be. Have you been recharging, taking care of yourself, getting your battery full? If you've been thinking about therapy, you should consider BetterHelp. Therapy is a great way to work on your coping skills, boundary setting, self-empowerment, and so much more. So try therapy with BetterHelp. It's online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible. It's suitable to your schedule. And you just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila
came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, it's time for Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. And the big note is that J.D. Martinez has been activated, and he is in the lineup for the Mets tonight. J.D. Martinez batting right behind Pete Alonso, so Alonso cleaning up. Martinez is batting fifth. I'll give you the whole lineup. Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, Martinez, McNeil, Bader, Beatty, and Nito, with Buddo getting the start. So Mets begin their three-game set tonight on Apple TV Plus against the Cardinals, and you get your first look at J.D. Martinez. That's Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today, any of their seven locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. 1-800-919-3776. Go to Brody in Hightstown. Brody, talk to us, my friend.
Hey, guys. Listen, you know, I got to say, on these teams with the getting kind of punked, you know, like the Mets and now the Knicks, you know, you got to retaliate right then and there. That's the only way you're going to kind of get the benefit of the doubt from the officials. Otherwise, you get people kicked out, suspended, and I think they still should do something, and I think they should go after Embiid. I think he's, listen, at first I don't root for injury, but at this point it's like anything's fair game the way he's playing. Mm. So I think you just got to do something right away.
Yeah, but waiting, if you did something right away, bro, right? If you did something right away, the guy who did something is going to get thrown out.
Right.
That's all there is to it. I mean, because it's so close in proximity to when the incident happened. You know, like DiVincenzo is right in his face. Right in his face. But the Knicks know that the Sixers are trying to goad them into being aggressive and getting fouls and getting thrown out. I don't think it was the time. I like Peter's thoughts more.
Yeah.
You bring in a Jericho Sims and you let him get physical with Joel Embiid.
Yeah, because you've got to take matters into your own hands. The league's not going to help you. The officials aren't going to help you. So they're going to continue to take advantage of it. So that's the only way. There's nothing left to do. Otherwise, you just have to accept it. And by accepting it, I just think that you're digging your own grave. So I like Peter's thoughts. You've got fouls to give on the bench. Take advantage of it.
Let's go to Phil in Pleasantville. Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hey, fellas. Happy Friday. So how much did the two-minute report coming out from game two have to do with the way that the refs reacted to Embiid's antics? Because I get it. Star players get the benefit of the doubt. But that was, like, above and beyond. And if you think about cumulatively, he did the knee into Hartenstein, and then Embiid, what was that, 5 minutes of real life?
Yep.
Where's the cumulative aspect there? And then to the other caller's point, and a little bit to Peter's, Michael, you've been saying all along with the Randall haters that we're going to sort of learn our lesson. This is where we miss him. It's not the 25 and 10. It's that he's the enforcer out there. If this is a hockey team, Randall's our enforcer. Plus, he could probably guard Embiid if Hartenstein and Mitch are on the bench. Thanks a lot.
Well, there's a lot of things you hit there, Phil. I think that the two-minute report had everything to do with the way the game was officiated.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of specifically Embiid and not getting the flagrant two, here's where I think it impacted it. Because those calls weren't made, the Sixers lost the game. If the Sixers came into game three 1-1, there's a chance, albeit slight, that Embiid could have gotten thrown out. Because it would not have ended the series. If Embiid gets thrown out there, it ends the series. The Knicks win the game. They win on Sunday, and the series is over. So I think the overall way that the game was enforced was definitely impacted by the two-minute report that said they missed those calls, which essentially cost the Sixers the game. Let's go to Spike in St. Pete.
Spike.
Hey, boys. I got a lot of brain power here. Bronx High School of Science, Hall of Fame, a six-year Terrapin, and the Ramapo rifle. You're all in different places. I need my math checked here. Two technicals and you're ejected, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Six personals and you're ejected, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. one technical and one flagrant one, and you're still in the game?
Yep. Because it's not considered a technical foul per se.
Why not?
Because it's just not. What you get a free throw, but it's not like looked at as being teed up.
Right.
Okay. All right. I don't buy that. I obviously buy what you're telling me is correct. I just don't accept that because a flagrant run is worse than a technical, which could be raising your finger or saying the wrong word. But I'll leave you with this, and this is what really, really bothered me. And gambling's come into this so much. I would love to see the spreadsheet of the money line bets after that was called a flagrant one, not a flagrant two, from the Secaucus area. That was ridiculous. If that's a regular season game, he's out on his ass. And that guy is the – I said Peter questioned me the other day. Not questioned me, maybe. I said this is the biggest win in 25 years. This is the dirtiest player I have seen since Bill Laimbeer.
He's up there.
Yeah, he certainly is.
Yeah, he's up there.
But again, I don't think it's gambling. I just think it's we don't want to have this series come to an end, because that's what you're doing. You're pulling the plug on the series. I don't think LeBron James would have got kicked out. I think there's a handful of players that wouldn't have get kicked out because of their stardom, and I think that they realize that if they kicked him out of the game, that the series is over.
And you know one thing, though, John, that makes it hurt more? If Mitchell Robinson did that to Embiid, he would have been thrown out immediately.
Yeah, and that's got to frustrate you, because everything's supposed – the league will tell you that there's no – that no one catches a break – that everybody's created equal, every game's equal, the first quarter is the same as overtime, and we know that that's BS, and there's a perfect example of that.
Well, the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. Now, if you're headed to the game, look for the pregame party in Lot E, along Roosevelt Avenue, that's near the 7 Line. And it's brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Celebrate the no-frills good life with Montauk Brewing Company, maker of New York's favorite craft beer, Wave Chaser IPA, a highly approachable brew that has packed tropical hops and delivers endless flavor. Chase your wave. And by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails, available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please Zing Zang responsibly. Peter, what do you have to tell us about FanDuel?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Michael. I've been wondering if you were going to ask, and I do want to talk to you about FanDuel, because the road to the finals already started, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own run with $150. You just got to place a $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. All right? It's that easy when it comes to betting the NBA on FanDuel Sportsbooks. But maybe you want to throw down with the Bucks and Pacers or the Mavericks and Clippers game tonight. However you're feeling, you can bet it all at FanDuel Sportsbook. All right? So, so easy. 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Well, spring into gear at Bayridge Honda, your go-to Honda dealer serving the five boroughs of New York. Drive home one of over 280 new Hondas, plus make no payments for 90 days. Bayridge Plus benefits come with every new vehicle and get an extra $1,500 for your trade-in. Shop now in Brooklyn and online at BayridgeHonda.com. No payments for 90 days with approved credit for well-qualified buyers. Bay Ridge Plus, provided by EFG Company. See dealer for details. Ends 4/30/24.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.